This is CliffCentral.com.
All right, it's Goldfish and Take Back Tomorrow. Oh, shut up. How dare you? Goldfish with Take Back Tomorrow. Take Back Today. Speaking of Taking Back Tomorrow.
Yeah, boy.
Dion Chang is our guest after 8 o'clock this morning. Dion Chang, of course, is a trends analyst and I like to call him a futurist. He's probably the foremost one in South Africa. The guy predicts what's going to happen next, and before it happens, he usually gets it right. Very, very smart man. Plus, I just like picking his brain every now and then. He's one of those people who's a thought leader in so many different ways. And Dion Chang is not to be missed after 8 o'clock this morning, right here on CliffCentral.com, live for your pleasure.
We need to get our notebooks out for that.
Yeah, I listened to... The last time Dion was on is probably about a year and a half ago. And his signature is right above the door every time I come in the morning. So I often think about him. And... it's been long overdue that we got him in here, but we've managed to find a gap in his schedule, a gap in ours, and we've put it together. So don't miss that today. 8 o'clock. If you're wondering where Justice Malala is, I'm sorry. He'll be here tomorrow. He let Sia know at the last minute last night again that he's not available, which makes Ben suspicious again that Justice is a hitman.
I've kind of moved past suspicion. It's just the rest of you who are on the fence. And then
we're just slow in the uptake.
You know, it's like, you know, when you're right, and you actually are right in life, you don't have to say any more. People will fight and squabble and debate, but ultimately they will come to your conclusion, at which stage you'll be there, rested and relaxed.
I love this tweet. Someone says, Charlie's Bird says, if a significant politician dies today, I may just believe Ben's theory on Justice Malala.
Let's see.
It's fine, guys.
That's how you'll know.
All in good time.
Here are some compliments for you, Ben. Someone says on WhatsApp this morning, and you can WhatsApp
us. You sound so surprised, Gareth.
No. I just like to refer to it. 0797482090 is the number you can send us a WhatsApp on. Just put it on your phone under Cliff Central. And then whenever you've got something that makes you hot under the collar or something makes you laugh, send us a message. It says, Ben, you are a genius. Your sports updates are out of this world.
Oh, that's nice.
That, huh? I knew Yaku Paper. This is a different message, but it's also about you. In my high school years, he was such an amazing guy. Even then, he had his head screwed on right. He went to great college, played first-team rugby, and did great academically. I have a lot of respect for the guy. It would actually be awesome if you interviewed him sometime.
Yeah, I should actually interview refs. You're right. Because I just think they get such... Even if they do make like a bit of a stuff up on the field, there's just no gray area with like fans' reaction towards them. They're not robots. Yeah, if one guy runs in front of their line of sight a split second during a play, he could miss something.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely.
But there's 73 cameras that we see on our couch, and we're like, oh, come on, ref.
Yo, what's wrong with you? Miss that? Why are you such a douche?
Yeah.
Well, let's get straight into it. There's lots of stuff worth discussing this morning. There's plenty in the news. And we could take your calls, your thoughts. You know what to do. 0861-555-189 is the number you can call us if you want to talk. If you want to Skype us, you'd prefer that. Cliff Central, one word. Give Amanda something to do. She's looking at me right now. She's bored out of her mind. All right. So yesterday I took Sia and Ben to this Kellogg's event that we went to. Let's rate my driving on a scale of 1 to 10 and have some comments because I know you guys can't wait to talk about this. Yesterday, sure. There was a big debate about am I a better driver now than I was when I was writing off cars left, right, and center. So, Ben, over to you. Let's do this.
On the way there, Gareth, you were a solid 9.
Okay.
And I say so because the car was not jolty. It was quite smooth. You definitely were helped by the fact that there was a variety of green lights and it was a very short distance. Mm. On the way back, your driving was about a 3. Firstly, you became very impatient at an intersection. Secondly...
No. Sia was the one. Okay. Hold on a second.
We'll get to Sia in a bit.
I knew that this is going to pop up as
well. Sia in the back seat, who wanted to go and shiv a truck driver. No, that's a different story.
He had already prepared a makeshift shank that he was going to go and kill a truck driver with. I've never seen Sia so animated. He became like a WWE wrestler.
Well, playboy okay. to Roger.
Wait, so, some sort of... yes, continue.
So after Gareth getting very, very frustrated at an intersection, he then slammed on brakes at an inopportune moment, which then made Sia age about 5 years.
I did that on purpose. You know I did that on purpose because I warned you.
And then,
ooh, I'm driving really well, huh?
You did. And then there was a truck, and then you basically almost mounted a pavement to get round a truck in order to save 30
yes,
seconds.
Yes, yes. Yeah. And we were practically around the corner.
We were here.
There was no rush at all. Mm, yeah, that definitely just got major deductions.
So there you go, Gareth. 12 out of 20.
All right. Well, that's fine. Sia, you agree with his analysis?
Right on par. Absolutely.
12 out of 20. It's still a pass, Angie Mocheja.
Sure. Yeah, I actually forgot about the overtaking. And Gareth, you were over...
It was undertaking, really.
You were trying to overtake a truck on the wrong side.
Oh, shut up.
At a four-way stop.
Get over it.
With a pedestrian... Actually, it's not even a speed bump. It's like a bridge.
Yes. So I would just like to defend myself and say that there's nothing that I cannot stand more than someone who's rude. And I just felt like that truck driver was rude.
He hooted.
For what? We were waiting to like turn.
Oh, Sia was furious.
He was furious.
All right. Enough about that. People couldn't care less about my driving skills. Let's move on. Greg says, Ben, I normally give you and your big head a lot of shit for nothing, but I say well done on the coverage of the Usain Bolt story. Thanks, I will watch.
Oh, I've actually got so much, Greg, that I'm going to put on my site about this too. Because, you know, I'm a massive fan. I'm doing this whole sprint challenge as well. So if you do like the stuff, then I'll share some more with you.
I saw you post a picture yesterday of those spikes that you were running in.
I know. Today I'm posting the video of my first track with my time.
Right.
It was so fun.
How did you do?
Gareth, I'll reveal that in the video. But basically, I am faster than one guy who's currently the IAAF World Champs. In the heats. One of the guys who'll be running in the heats, I am faster than one of them.
And this is with no training?
That's a hell of a thing, Ben.
Yeah, look, I actually arrived at this...
Is he very fat and unfit?
I don't know why he's there, but there must be some sort of reason. So yeah, when I got to the HPC in Pretoria, it was in the back of
High Performance Center.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm down with the lingo. See how I got that.
It was in the back of 2 weeks of not training, because I got flu, and then I've had a lot of work on. No excuse whatsoever, but it went well. I'm still quite stiff, but... No, I'm going to kill this challenge.
All right, let's get going. Mm-hmm. Sia, what do you got on your agenda? What's on your plate this morning? What can you offer us on the menu?
Well, I have to say, this story makes us all just want to like clap in the corner right now, because communications regulator ICASA, the Independent Communications Authority of South Africa, has told Parliament that mobile service operators have no justification for charging customers high out-of-bundle data rates. Like, hello? Right. It's taken so long, but thank you for finally recognizing it.
Well, I mean, this is why we went to Parliament last year. Hello? And they do. There's no reason. This out-of-bundle bullshit. It's Jeez. The same. Costs it's... them the same. I have no sympathy. I used to think, it's let's give the networks time, a chance. Eh? These networks have been... boldly, bald-faced, ripping us off for years. If you look at what it cost us over the last 10, 20 years even, to make a call, to send an SMS in the days where you still did those two things, and to use data, which is the thing we do now.
Yeah.
In the beginning especially. Now, of course, they've had to be tamed because they've realized we're onto them. Compared to other countries in the world, it's a disgrace.
Huge.
And you see them building these big corporate headquarters. I mean, Vodacom's VodaWorld is so goddamned enormous that it's spread through the whole of Midrand like a virus. MTN has got the biggest building on 14th Avenue. It makes all those huge houses on Northcliff look like toothpicks. And you've got Cell C with this big penis-shaped office here on the corner of Buccleuch. I mean, how dare they?
Look, how we've dare tried they? To get them on our side.
I'm not trying anymore. And I think our audience get the idea that it's not us that are profiteering off of them, because we don't get a single cent out of that data spend. And trust me, I've tried. I've tried to negotiate with all three of them. We've tried to come to terms with all three of them. Who knows? Maybe they'll come to the party one day. But I've been there. And I refuse to beg.
We literally have been there.
We have. We've been to all of them. We've been to all three of them. We tried to talk them into doing useful things with us, doing things for our audience. They need people who use data. It's just, there's no, They don't negotiate with you, and they don't create space. I'm sorry, I can't lie anymore.
So both ICASA and members of parliament agree that the price of data is unaffordable for many, and it's even more expensive for people who do not buy large data bundles, many of whom are low-income earners. So out of bundle rates are at least 50% higher than in bundle rates, which means the current regime benefits wealthier customers. So ICASA's Lueng Mpahlele, says there's no reason why it should be more expensive to connect to the internet if a customer is not using a large data bundle. So he argues there's no basis for the price escalation. So listen to this. MPs have heard Vodacom is actually the most expensive of the mobile operators. Their price of out of bundle rates is 2 rand per megabyte, and MTN comes in at number 3 of everything with 99 cents per megabyte, and Cell C is number 2 with 1 rand 10 cents per megabyte. So geez Louise, thank you. It's about damn time. But well, let's see how much this will change then.
Well, now you know who's making money out of you. Now you know who's I mean, it's hard enough, it's expensive to live in South Africa, and to have to worry. A lot of people are very anxious about their bill when it arrives every month. You know, I've got the app, so I check up on it. And by the way, in defense of these guys, because I don't want to sound like I'm just piling on, because it seems ICASA is already telling them that they're out of line. If you go to whichever service provider you're with, and you explain what it is you need, because they just give you that, you know, every time you go for an upgrade, they push up your price, blah, blah, blah. And you could be paying more than you absolutely have to. And they're not going to tell you that because it's great for them. But what you should do is take responsibility of this for yourself. And you really have to make sure that you do the work. And you go to them and you say, all right, guys, I use data. I don't care about airtime. I don't care about SMSs, free this, that. I don't want tickets to the rugby. Don't give me all that shit. Give me cheap data. They'll figure out the best. They have to. You sit with the guy or the girl and you
possible.
Talk to them.
It is possible. I did a similar thing, Gareth, about, well, a year and a half ago.
Yeah. It saves you. I promise you could save yourself hundreds, if not thousands of rands that you're paying unnecessarily. Because you just accept, oh, well, that's my bill. And what are you going to do? Fight with them?
Even if it's 100 rand a month, that's 1,200 bucks a year.
Yeah.
Go and talk to them. Go and sit there. And you know what? They do have smart people who work with them who can help you to figure out the best possible package. You might be on way too expensive a package. You don't need it.
And let's not be fooled with these packages. Some of them like 150 SMSs. Like,
what people do is they go for the phone, right? They see this, and this is where you mustn't be caught either. You want the iPhone 7 or the new Samsung. Maybe you don't need it. And maybe if you look at how much it's going to cost you over like 3 years, it's an unnecessary expense. I would say go for the package that does the most work for you and costs the least. It's very easy if you're going to ask them to do it. They'll give you the figures. You know, you have something to compare with. Anyway, so there we go. ICASA's busy scolding all the network providers. And that includes Telkom. I didn't mention them, by the way.
Yeah, they weren't listed in this. So, let's see. On to other news. We always love mentioning the royals. And
what's
so
happening?
It's just in the spirit of revelations from the British monarchy. And we all know and we've heard that Queen Elizabeth likes herself, you know, and she enjoys...
What? She likes herself?
No, she likes herself a little dranky drank. That's what I was about to say.
I see what you mean. She's she drinks, what do they say she drinks? Gin Dubonnet.
Yeah, boo. So,
never heard of it. What is Dubonnet? Can someone explain that to me? What is it?
I don't know, but she's about 8 units in every day, I think.
Yes, I was doing a bit of research, and that Dubonnet is just like... all I got was that it was usually served with gin as a bit of a cocktail situation.
Well, that's nothing compared to her sister Princess Margaret, who you could find lugging crates of brown ale up the stairs every third
is this
afternoon.
Margaret Rhodes?
Margaret Princess Margaret is dead.
Okay.
And the Queen Mother she'd hit the vodkas early on. She never had a moment of the day where she wasn't at least a little tipsy. And you know what? If the royals in their opulent, wonderful existence can do that, you shouldn't feel guilty if you are.
at all. And I'm talking to you, Sia, who wakes up at 3 a.m. and drinks wine. Let's feel better about this. I was asking about Margaret Rhodes because I'd never heard of her particularly.
She's the Queen's cousin, isn't she?
Yes. Yeah. And she's now actually naming and shaming her cousin for this and has revealed how much the Queen drinks a day. So according to the Queen's day, she starts off with a mid-morning little gin and Dubonnet on
why
the
not?
Rocks.
I mean, if you're the Queen and you're in your 90s, why the hell? Even Amanda's going, yeah, she should, right?
Mid-morning?
Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
She doesn't have to answer to anyone.
Well, what's she got to do? She's going to cut a ribbon or say something patronizing to a school at some stage.
If you aren't a little bit drunk meeting all those common people in those lines...
There's no other way you can function.
Oh, imagine having to shake all those dirty people's heads. Hello, Your Majesty. Hello, Queen. Oh, you're going to open up our town, eh?
Oh, you're going to cut a hospital ribbon, Your Majesty. Hey, give us a kiss.
Come on. I mean, she'd have to be drunk.
At no stage does she arrive at a place and operate a forklift for the good of a town. She can drink.
Go for it.
So I think maybe we can officially call her functioning alcoholic then.
Yeah.
Lunchtime for the Queen is always 1 o'clock, Margaret says, and then followed by a dry martini later on in the afternoon. And to end the day off, a sparkling glass of champagne.
That's not a lot of drinking, by the way.
But here's the
thing. She's really pacing herself.
As per UK alcohol unit guidelines... Weekly alcohol consumption should be kept at 14 units per week on a regular basis. But judging on this schedule, the Queen's daily intake puts her at about 6 units per day, which, according to classifications, the Queen could be deemed a binge drinker by government standards. But who's going to point out to the Queen that she's a binge drinker and she basically might even need help? But as for Prince Philip, he just likes to keep it simple with a beer. So cheers to the royals, the binge drinkers.
Well, speaking of Philip, he's obviously done with all this now.
Please say that again.
Philip.
Oh,
he's all done with this. Yeah. But since 1952, how many solo engagements do you reckon Philip has had to fulfill? Now, this isn't just him standing on the right. This is him going, damn it, I'm going to see these common people again.
Philip,
since 1952.
I reckon he's done tens of thousands.
Anyone guess?
I'd say 50,000 engagements.
22,219 times Louise. Philip has left the castle going, screw it, I'll be back in a bit.
Yeah, keep my drink chilled, I'll be home in half an hour.
22,219 times.
Shucks.
A lot of times you had to go and cut a ribbon, open a building, kiss a baby, shake a hand.
That's a lot of smiling, a lot of waving for
no reason. They've got some kind of a show on DSTV at the moment, and it came on for like 15 minutes the other day, and I actually sat and watched it about Prince Philip's, what do they call it, the Duke of Edinburgh Awards scheme or whatever. And he was talking to some interviewer. And he's so disparaging. He's just so rude. Mm. He doesn't like anyone. Yes, but what is it? So the guy says, oh, Your Royal Highness. And he's all nervous. You can see. He's like, Your Royal Highness, tell us about the marvelous things that the Duke... Well, you could go and look it up, can't you? Must I do my job? Must I do your job for you? And he's so sarcastic with this guy. Because he doesn't care. He doesn't give a shit. Prince Philip is he's the luckiest man in the world. I mean this. If I had to come back as another human being, the only guy I'm jealous of, Prince Philip.
In my head, I think he and Harry get along really well.
Oh, big time. Because, of course, they're both troublemakers.
Yeah.
So Prince Philip, when he married the Queen, had not a cent to his name. He was a prince. His mother was a Danish princess, and his father was the cousin of the King of Greece or whatever. But he's English. I mean, he's pretty much English. The Queen and he are about fourth cousins or third cousins. So he's descended from Queen Victoria as well, but not a penny to his name when he met the Queen. He was a poor kid. He was in the Navy, I think. Didn't have a lot of money. I mean, he was
a fancy sailor.
But he was really just living from hand to mouth. He didn't have any money. He had less than Sia has right now.
Really?
When he met the Queen, yeah. And... she fell in love with him, and he was like, he was obviously in love with her. I mean, they've stayed together for all this time.
70 years, Gareth.
It's amazing.
That he has been the Queen's companion for 70 years.
So, you know, people talk about maybe he's been cheating. I haven't I don't know if there's evidence of that. I haven't seen any, but whatever. They're still together. And that's more than I can say for a lot of people who profess their love for each other on Facebook. So Prince Philip meets the Queen. She falls in love with him. He falls in love with her. And he's landed with his backside in the butter. Because what is his job? He's really just there to support the Queen. Right?
22,219 sudden engagements.
But I mean, it's not, that is not the hard work that you would think. You know, that's not someone who's, he's having the hardest day in the world and he's, you know, he has to pull a plow across a field or weld two pieces of steel together or
phone people to buy
things.
But
you would swear that was the case because all of this news now comes out of, you know, he's just done his official final public appearance. And now people are just going, oh, it's a well-deserved retirement.
Can you imagine?
Oh, thank
he's
you
like,
so much.
I've just finished my last engagement. Let's get out of here. Woo! And he's never coming back. If you are in the public in Great Britain, Northern Ireland, or any of the dominions beyond the seas, that's the last you'll see of Prince Philip. He's going to chill to the max. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if he's got a major Netflix account that he's going to start accessing.
Sure.
In its droves.
Just some more numbers on him. He has given 5,496 speeches publicly.
God,
and he is either the patron, the president, or a member of 785 organizations.
Wow.
96.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'd be surprised if he remembers more than three.
Well, good for him.
But speaking of retirements, you should just basically never ever retire. There's been a long study by a Japanese doctor who died recently at the age of 105. Oh. And he said, retirement's stupid. And if you are going to retire, if you are going to be so soft and weak, according to this guy, you must do it after the age of 65. So basically, there's retirement ages around the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Japan had it quite late at 65, back when the life expectancy was all of 68. So this guy, his name is Shigeki Hinahara.
Oh,
he has some pretty decent like views on life, right? So, like longevity is a big deal in Japan. Obviously,
yeah.
They live a very different life, and
for
they
sure.
do have very long lives as well. So, well, he was saying this whole retirement thing is a load of bollocks because you need to be able to contribute to the world. As a human, you can't just be on the sidelines, right?
No.
This is his major sort of idea around this, is that everything is about contribution. If you're not making a contribution in life where you've got no place here...
You start to deteriorate.
And you decay and rot, yeah.
Yeah.
And at the very least, if you are going to retire from being like a worker or whatever, you should then dedicate your time to helping other people, making sure you wake up early and doing good things for other people. And he lives 105. So I think this guy has more than a leg to stand on. He also had some very key like other takeaways here. Worry less about eating well or getting more sleep. You should just have fun. Okay, that's one thing to learn from this guy, 105. If you want to live long, don't be overweight. He said that was one of his big things. Him and Gary Player write on this. For breakfast, he used to drink coffee, a glass of milk, some orange juice, and a tablespoon of olive oil. That was how he got his day started. He believed the olive oil kept his skin healthy. For lunch, he had milk and a few cookies.
Not too bad.
That's
but
all right.
And
cool.
He never got hungry, this guy said. And dinner was just vegetables, fish, rice, and every now and again he had some meat.
Ugh, I would far rather follow Queen Elizabeth's drinking schedule than that, actually.
Well, she's got into her 90s. I mean,
exactly.
Here's the point. Like, don't retire.
Yeah.
I always say to people, and this goes for anyone, you could be 20 years old. If you're not doing something where you feel like you're contributing to society, you're doing something meaningful, you're doing something useful, you are going to slide backwards.
It's that old cliche of like, oh, I'm so successful, I'm going to retire when I'm 30 or...
Stupid. It's like, who wants to do that?
Retiring is just dumb. Like, life is actually fun. Why would you want to be on the sidelines of something?
Rather, and you know what? This goes for unemployed people too, and I hate to like sound as if I'm lecturing unemployed people, but if you live in a community and it's just there's litter all over the place, you wake up every morning and all you do every month is go and collect your social grants and look after the people in your care, you're not doing enough. Go outside and tidy up that litter in your community. I look at the mess in the countryside in South Africa. I look at how much litter is on the side of the roads. I look at how dirty our rivers are. I look at how if people just drop plastic and shit wherever they are. If you have that little respect for yourself, how can you expect me to respect you? If your environment, if you live in filth and squalor, and you don't even bother to tidy it up, you don't have the self-respect that makes me want to respect you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So here's one tiny little way that everybody, no one is too poor to be able to pick up something. That's not an excuse. I try to keep my environment tidy. I try to keep the place that I work, the place that I live, the car I drive in. I try to keep it orderly. Just because if you don't have order in your immediate universe, how can you have order outside of that? If you can't exercise a little bit of control and make a difference in your own environment, forget being able to impact anything else. You don't have any self-control, let alone self-respect. So pick up shit.
Hinohara also said that you should never blindly follow what your doctor says because they're looking at it from one perspective. There is many ways to go about life, and your doctor isn't always like the best to tell you what to do. To conquer pain, you must simply just have fun because pain is quite a mysterious thing. It could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be mental,
yeah.
But we never really know. But all else fails, you just need to have fun. It's all we have in life.
Right.
And always take the stairs and carry your own belongings.
Always,
carry your own belongings. Sia.
And always
Sia,
take the stairs.
Sia once left me at the airport with like 10 bags of crap to carry around. Yeah, I remember that.
I don't know if I want to take all of this advice. He was 105.
105, Sia, and he still kept a schedule. He was still working, and he, in his hundreds, he was still working. He was a doctor. He saw people. He made time for things. He had his shit together into those hundreds.
The irony of the doctor saying, don't listen to your doctor.
Exactly. This man was smart.
All right, well, while we're talking about smart things, Touchbase Pro have helped us put together a much better daily newsletter. And I would advise anybody who listens to cliffcentral.com, and if you are a fan of our podcasts, to sign up for our newsletter if you're not already on it. Go to cliffcentral.com and you'll find the tab to sign up for our newsletter on the right of the screen. Join up there because Touchbase Pro have helped us to put together an amazing new daily newsletter. It's got updates on the highlights that we've come up with in that week. It's got jokes, news, funny stuff, all the stuff you need to know. Click sign up on the homepage, fill out the form, and sit back and enjoy it. It gets delivered into your inbox every day. And it won't be one of those emails that you'll just go, oh no, not another piece of this crap. I'm going to delete this. Because we're going to tailor make it to your needs. You'll see there are a couple of boxes you can tick. And slowly over time, we will get it exactly to your liking. But we need your input. So go and sign up for the newsletter. And big thanks to Touchbase Pro for helping us put together an amazing newsletter. Wanda Hartley will join us in a short while. She's going to talk to us about the event that we went to yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
With Kellogg's, brand new day is what we called it, and we all had to make our own breakfast. I stole everybody else's breakfast ideas.
Oh, really?
I took pictures of all the best ones, and I made a collage, and I said, look at these things that I've made. And people were going, oh, congratulations, Gareth. You made the greatest breakfast. That looks so good.
Oh, so now the truth comes out, because I saw that picture. I saw you, taking snaps. I was like, oh, this is amazing. Wow, you really went for it.
I saw these people making these amazing things, and I thought, ugh. Do I want to do that? Yeah, I spend about 3 minutes in the kitchen every month. I was like, I'm not going to do this, but it looks good, so I'll just steal their stuff.
Ben, how far did you go?
I didn't actually end up making anything.
No, you
because
did. I saw what you made.
I got started, but then I got started eating.
Yeah. I saw what you made. It was boring and bland and dreary, and you should be embarrassed about your contribution.
I'm not. I had a good breakfast, Gareth, so therefore I would... Really, outside of that, I wasn't happy.
Here's Ben's menu for breakfast yesterday morning.
Uh-huh.
Handful of soil.
Oh, no.
Handful of soil, dollop of yogurt,
mm-hmm.
And then a sprinkling of all bran on top of it. Then he thought he'd made a great meal.
There was kiwi fruit involved.
Yes.
There was shaved almonds.
Oh,
didn't know you needed to shave them.
Sesame seeds.
Yeah.
Yeah, there was so much going on there.
All right.
You guys, well, you'll see. I am about to metamorphosize into something amazing.
I got to the closest, sweetest thing that I could find, which was this peanut butter infused.
Oh my gosh, that thing was amazing.
Yes. And right. It's like a crunchy.
I'm
salivating.
Let's not spoil the fun. We'll get to Wada in a moment or two. There's no rush.
Mm-hmm.
I see Amabungane are joining in the petition to bring Andile Mtama and that useless BLF to court and to charge them. They've really screwed up very badly. And they deserve to go down. And I think a lot of people are just tired of hearing this Andile barking from the sidelines when we know that he's being paid by the Guptas to do so. He's got no ideas of his own at this point. And I played that clip for you the other day from that BBC documentary. He's just, yes, he is exactly the same as Bell Pottinger and the whole state capture movement. He's very much a part of it. And his race baiting and his endless mewling about white monopoly capital is just pointless and uninteresting in every way. So there we go.
Do you know, I personally, I've started to make more of a concerted effort to actually be more informed. So there are a lot of these terms that go around, and you know, I get it in the general conversation, but I didn't exactly understand what some of it meant. So case in point, the vote and the motion of no confidence that's going to happen on the 8th of August.
Yep.
I didn't actually understand fully what it all means, but I've been able to research and find out. So case in point, what's going to happen with President Jacob Zuma and in the National Assembly on the 8th of August is if everyone now votes and the motion were to succeed, I didn't actually know that this is how things would break down. So case in point, the first step would be for the president to resign. According to the constitution, the president and his whole cabinet and all of the deputy ministers must resign. So we'll basically...
Well, you know those people are not going to vote for it because they're going to lose their jobs, and there's no way any of them would ever get employment in the private sector. They would be the last people on my list if it came to the most simple... If I asked someone to dig a hole, I could find 55 million South Africans who would be better qualified than any of our cabinet ministers to dig a hole. So I wouldn't hire...
That speaks highly of them.
I wouldn't hire one of them.
Pardon my ignorance, but is there a state that has ever had something like this before? Where vote was...
Many.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Where the entire cabinet was now like, okay, Coolio, bow.
Well, there's been tremendously rotten politicians for ever and ever. And it's not all countries like ours that go, oh, well, that's our guy.
All right. Let me give you, because we got Dion Chang popping in after 8 o'clock this morning. I'm thrilled to have him in. He always says such interesting things and gives us an idea, a glimpse of what the future may hold. He observes very carefully and very scientifically the trends that are going on. I often say to people that they say, who is Dion Chang? And I say he's like a marvelous mixture of Ray Kurzweil and Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh.
And he's better than both of them, if you ask me. He's very thorough and he knows his stuff. So if you want to hear some smart, interesting insights, then hang on until 8 o'clock. We've got Wada coming in a moment, but this is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very miserable yesterday, as many of us get in the current political climate. But here are some facts that will remind you why you, right now, if you are listening to us and you are alive, are not only the luckiest member of your family in any generation prior to this to be alive on Earth as a human, but also why you should stop complaining and mewling about privilege, because you are already the most privileged person in history too. I'll tell you why. Extreme poverty. If you look at extreme poverty as a factor in human society, over the last 100 years, the number of people living in extreme poverty has come down by 90%. As compared with where it was at this time 100 years ago.
I know some people are probably thinking, what? Yep. It could be worse than this?
It could be a lot worse. And the total number of people living in extreme poverty anywhere in the world, down by 90%. Democracy. We have got approximately 56 democracies in the world that operate properly and effectively. And at the beginning of this century, there were 2.
Only 2?
Yes. Sorry, the last century, the 1900s. Basic education. This is pretty damn amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, according to this, only 14 out of 100 have not attained any education. 14 out of every 100 people now have not attained any education. And it used to be back in the day that 17 people out of 100 had any basic education.
What? So there were, my math's bad, 83 out of 100 did not get
no education,
any sort of education.
Nothing whatsoever. Couldn't read, couldn't write, couldn't add.
You could okay. just
literacy.
Hunt.
While we're on the education thing, in 1820, it's a long time ago, 1820, only 12 out of every 100 people could read. 12 out of every 100 people could read in 1820.
That's a lot of fistfights, huh?
Yeah.
People not knowing how to communicate with each other.
And now only 15 are not able to read. Now, so things are infinitely better. Vaccination. Only 14 out of every 100 people in the world right now are not vaccinated against these diseases which have destroyed humankind. And back in the year 1820, no people were vaccinated against these diseases.
Hmm.
Zero. Child mortality. It used to be in 1820 that 43 children would die before they were 5 years old out of every 100.
That's because they were working in the mines at three.
43 out of every 100 kids died before the age of five. Think Jeez. About that. Now, four die before they're 5 years old in the world in 2017. Stop complaining.
Mm.
The world is so much better than it's ever been. And don't let anyone tell you it's going backwards. They're talking nonsense.
Well, listen, we have Netflix, Oprah, and Beyonce living in these times, so...
Yes, that's also true. For Sia, that's the most important thing. Forget about child mortality
yes,
or democracy or anything else. Sia's more interested in Beyonce and Netflix. All right?
The bare necessities. I should rewrite that song.
All right. Let's get Wanda Hartley in here. We haven't seen her in a while. She's had a baby since we last spoke to her. She's looking fantastic. She was also at this Kellogg's Brand New Day, which we took part in yesterday. And look at her go. Come in here. Have a seat. She's, of course, a TV sports anchor, ENCA, among other things. She's been a part of our CliffCentral.com family for the longest time. Sit down and make yourself comfortable, Your Highness. Look at you.
Hello.
Your Highness.
I'm fine and you, Gareth. Hi, guys.
Good. Just to let you know, brand new day, a life and health hack that help you to live a more balanced, healthy, and fulfilled life powered by Kellogg's All Brand. And we're going to look at and meet a couple of interesting individuals around their everyday well-being and how they're achieving this in their day-to-day life. Wadda is one of them, brandnewday.co.za, home to all of it, from information about brand and fiber to fun recipes. Kellogg's All Brand, synonymous with brand, but we're sorry, with building well-being and enabling a healthier lifestyle. By the way, they've got a bunch of different kinds of things. I've even
got some of it here. Do you have some breakfast?
How good is that?
This is the granola.
Yeah.
So there's Kellogg's All Brand Flakes, Kellogg's All Brand Porridge, and Kellogg's All Brand High Fiber, which shows that it's more than just about digestive health.
Definitely.
How are you?
I'm fine, and you, Gareth?
Good. How's Essa?
He's so well. Issa.
Issa's your little baby.
Yeah. I just realized afterwards when I named him, I was like, wow, it kind of sounds like East, you know, like North, East.
Uh-oh.
I was like... That was not
like,
the plan.
Like Kanye and Kim.
Yeah, no, that was not the plan, guys.
Issa, where did that name come from?
It's actually Arabic for Jesus. Well, we believe he's a
prophet.
Oh
my God, you've confused the hell out of people now. Arab, but for Jesus.
Yeah, it's yeah. Wow. So in English, you'd say Jesus, or in Brazil, you'd say Jesus. So yeah, you'd say so
people Issa. Are going to meet him and go, Jesus.
Yes, yeah, and you'd be like, oh my me.
All right, so what's been happening?
A lot has been happening. My life has changed quite dramatically. Still trying to keep up with, you know, a general sense of a good well-being.
Mm-hmm. Is that harder when you've just had a baby?
Of course, yeah. Oh. Like, I mean, the first month or two, I was eating, and I mean, I'm a big breakfast person. I'll come late to work, but I will have breakfast. That's right. My thing in
so
the morning.
So you got to explain this to Sia because he doesn't get it. Ben has been trying to drum this into his skull for the last
How very important
6 months.
Yeah, it's so important because it basically sets up your whole day. So with my baby, the first couple of months, I was having breakfast at like 11, 12 o'clock in the day simply because like I couldn't find a rhythm. I didn't have a nanny yet or anything like that. So that really threw me for a loop because it just... reset my whole day in a different direction and a whole different rhythm. So, yeah, so that's been a huge adjustment, but I've loved every minute of it.
But you started a fitness and well-being blog of your own. It's FabuFit, right?
Yes, it is. Yeah.
FabuFit.co.za.
That's it. And it's grown also from strength to strength. That's my, I suppose, my firstborn. And then Issa's right. my secondborn.
Right. Absolutely.
And with that, I found a way to kind of like marry the two. When I was pregnant with Issa, I wrote a pregnancy workout and nutrition guide with a registered dietitian, and that's been going really well. Just, you know, imparting what I've learned and then also what the actual medical literature says about how you should be eating during a pregnancy.
Because there's a lot of stress and anxiety around what's the right way to be and what's the right stuff to eat and what's the right amount of exercise to do. A lot of women are very nervous to do something wrong because it'll affect the baby.
Yeah, exactly. People basically think, you know, you have a baby and you need to wrap yourself up in bubble wrap and sit on the couch for 9 months.
Which is terrible because then all you do is get fat.
Exactly, and nobody wants that.
No, it makes you that much... It makes it a lot harder to get back to what you want to look like afterwards.
Yes, for sure. For sure, it does. And it just makes everything just uncomfortable. Because, I mean, do you know how hormonal you are after you have a baby?
Tell me. Tell me about it.
You cry half the time.
Of course I know. I've had so many babies.
You are so emotional because, first of all, you're scared you're going to kill your baby by mistake.
No.
You're scared they're going to stop breathing. You're scared somebody's going to steal them. Yeah. You're just scared all the time, and then you worried about your body, and your body's doing weird things, your skin's doing weird stuff, your hair's falling out in tufts. It's hard to make a human.
It takes its toll on you.
Yeah.
You know, I meet people who say, "Huh, you shouldn't be eating that," or, you know, you shouldn't be drinking or whatever. And I say to them, have you, and it's coming from like a woman who's had three kids, and I'm like, do you know what those children have done to your body? Because it is. It's very, very stressful, very dangerous for some mothers.
Yeah.
Experience.
It is a big dangerous experience. I mean, you're literally, your hips widen, your pelvis widens.
Yes.
Your body shifts in order to push this thing out.
You make it sound so beautiful.
Look, it's a lot of blood and guts. And
Sia was about to transition into a female, but now he's changed his mind.
I was so ready for that up until that amazing, amazing vision. So
you can have
my uterus. I'll babysit.
So look, I mean, we're on in the mornings, and we are obviously talking to a lot of people who are driving into work. They're off to gym. They're trying to start their days. What do you reckon they should do?
I reckon they should have, in order to have a good sense of well-being all day, you got to have breakfast and to have a good amount of fiber. Because that's a big problem nowadays. A lot of people are not getting enough fiber in their diet. You need about 25 grams and people aren't even getting like a fraction of that because they're not eating enough breakfast. They're not having breakfast. People are, or they're having the wrong things for breakfast.
Right. I mean, that's also the problem, is that if breakfast is the toughest meal to figure out because you're often in a hurry.
Yeah.
You can't really prepare it the night before and then just microwave it because there's nothing really that you could do in a breakfast sense. I wouldn't want to have that kind of a breakfast.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of us are also a bit sensitive early in the morning.
You know, I've actually timed it because I'm perpetually late. It takes less than 5 minutes to make a shake, to make like a smoothie.
Okay.
So you could put cereal into that with some milk or some, you know, almond milk, whatever you want to use, berries, whiz it all up. And there you go. That's breakfast. And you down it and you out of there within like well within 5 minutes.
And it doesn't have to taste horrible, right?
No, definitely not. Or you can make yourself, I mean, how hard is it to put cereal in a bowl, pour milk on it, there you go. Add a little bit of sugar or honey, whatever you want to add to it.
Exactly, and you can be so versatile with it, Gareth, as yesterday showed.
Yeah.
There's so many different things you can use.
Well, what did you make yesterday?
I made a yogurt sort of bowl with a high fiber bran. That was my plain Greek yogurt with the high fiber.
The reason I'm
bran.
Asking is because yours was obviously so boring, I didn't take note of it.
No, I don't think it was. It didn't catch your eye because I didn't have the rainbow colors.
Yeah.
And I had banana and kiwi in it. I had kiwi in it. Kiwi's a fun fruit.
So did Ben. It's like you two copied each other's boring recipes.
We're just smart.
Yeah, we're smart. We had like a nutritious.
Okay, yeah, whatever.
A nutritious meal. And I had that with some honey and it was delish. And then I had some of the hot hot cakes, I suppose, or flapjacks.
All right.
That was yum yum. Yeah, but yesterday proved to us that yesterday was, you know, the launch of this brand, hashtag brand new day.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like you can literally give yourself a whole new start to your day if you just have breakfast. It really does set the tone for the day. I can't tell people this enough. Like you gotta have breakfast.
All right. Well, I like that. I think it's helpful info for everybody. You can go along to brandnewday.co.za if you want to find out more. And Wada, you got to spend a little bit more time with us. When are you back on TV? Are you already back?
I was on, yeah, I was on from last week. I was on as late as last night. So, yeah, I'm back in the swing of things.
All right. How's it going over there?
It's going well. It's always busy. You know, there's always lives. There's always breaking stories. The big, you know, that T-Mall case and stuff. Yeah. And
But you do a lot of sport, right?
I do a lot of sport. Yes, I do.
So you're watching the Usain Bolt thing that Ben keeps going on about? Because he's very excited about it.
Look, I've got a theory on that. Can we discuss it? He was quoted as saying, and we were running it all last night, I think Wade van Niekerk is the next big thing. He's the one to watch in the World Championships. But then he strategically doesn't run the 200 meters. Yeah. I think he's scared he's going to get beat.
I can't disagree with that. I think that's the one downer about this whole thing, is that he doesn't have a great rivalry at the end. He's just bowing out on 100 meters.
Yeah.
He missed. The 200 was his race. That was his big race growing up. That was his pinnacle.
And I think he doesn't want to do it because he doesn't want to go out on a loss.
Sure. You can understand that, but
what's
it's also,
the story that his parents gave him a pair of shoes? There was something I saw in the news this morning. You know anything about this?
No, I don't.
Some fancy new pair of shoes that they did specially for him.
Well, Puma just made him a new set of spikes, basically like legacy spikes. So it's got to do with his entire life, and they've just been encapsulated into this new pair of spikes he's going to wear.
All right,
it's the Bolt legacy spikes.
So, who does Issa look like? More like his dad, or like you?
I think he looks a little bit of both of us. Everyone who sees him says something different. Some people are like, oh, he looks just like you. I don't really care as long as he's healthy and he's progressing well.
Well, I mean, if he's not brilliant, you're going to be disappointed. Be honest. Come on. If he's not great, if he's not a good-looking kid and he doesn't have some kind of sporting ability or at least a great brain, you're going to go, maybe we should try again.
I'm a bit worried about the great brain part because I read somewhere that they get it from their mother, and I can tell you now his dad is way smarter than me. So I keep telling my husband, oh God, I hope he doesn't become a journalist. Oh God, I hope he gets a real profession. He needs to do something, you know.
What does his dad do?
His dad is a corporate yuppie, let me rather just say.
Oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, works in the banking sector, so very... Right.
I'm sorry Mabali isn't here to give you shit this morning.
Yeah, I was ready to give her shit.
She's gone to a family funeral. She was sick yesterday, and then I think she was just bunking yesterday, but that's just my opinion. And then she's back on Monday, but I will be sure to tell her that you were here and say something mean about her, because you've known Mabali for a long time.
Yeah.
And you guys, didn't you live together for a little while?
No, we didn't live together.
I thought you were shacked up together for a little while.
No, we weren't shacked up together, but it felt that way at one stage.
Yeah, you're very close.
We're very close, yeah.
But she's a very difficult person to get close to.
She is a very difficult person to get close to. She's just difficult in general. She's a weird person. Weird about her birthday.
Yes.
Doesn't want to know anything about it. No, like
it's very odd. Antisocial.
Yeah. Super antisocial.
She's got major psychological problems.
I will directly send this to my dearest Miss Malloy.
Send Miss Malloy a podlet of this discussion and let's make her unhappy.
Is a donkey still alive?
Yes, Motlalipule. She's actually going back to see Motlalipule as well.
Don't worry, it wasn't Motlalipule.
I was very worried about that.
Yes. I heard a donkey is now ferrying Mercedes over the border in Zimbabwe.
That's true also. That is true.
I've actually got a picture. Yes.
You do?
Absolutely true.
Isn't that one hers?
Oh, yeah, that is him. He's got that distinctive mark on his ear.
And now he's running a hijacking syndicate.
I'm not even...
In Limpopo.
He must be very old by now. I mean, that donkey's lasted longer than...
Yo.
We've been working together 7 years. He was already old when she started working with me.
But didn't you just say a 100-year-old guy was still working and had his shit together? Yeah, so maybe her donkey has his shit together.
Yeah, because he's still working.
He's still working.
Well, a lot of comments here. This is great. Ben... The best bounce show last week. Congrats, man. That's from Snay. He loved it.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, that guest was, Goodwill was very cool.
Right. You listen to Ben's sports show? I mean, you're a sports journalist. You should be paying attention, right?
I should listen to it more.
Yeah.
Let me just say that.
I'm just okay.
It's the nicest no I've ever heard.
But we interview you, Ben. So we, you know, we love you at ENCA.
They
You're
do.
One of our friends.
They do like Ben at ENCA. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, we could yak it up all morning.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you spending a little bit of time with us. I know you've got a busy day ahead.
Thanks, Gareth.
And tell Issa we say hello.
I will.
And we will hopefully see you again soon. Come in and spend a little bit more time with us.
I'd love to. Yeah. Thanks.
In the meantime,
me.
We will all make sure we eat our fiber and we do a proper breakfast.
Yeah, and get that hashtag brand new day started.
All right.
I'm super hungry.
Yeah. Now you're hungry.
See,
now
in a good way.
Yesterday he was all queeny.
Morning sickness.
I've got my bully here who's, you know, she's definitely one of the more difficult people to get along with. Sia, who's very up and down and anxious. Ben, who's the grumpiest man
Makes
on
sense.
Earth. These are the people I surround myself with. Wada, please, come and work with me.
I will be happy to.
You're so pleasant.
Just to balance things out with these dysfunctional people.
Wonderful
there's
vibes.
There's no
Sia.
Balance in here.
Well, no.
And you have Sia who wants to wake up as Beyonce.
No, that's what he wants
One
to.
One day going to happen.
But he needs to eat. He
there.
Needs to eat so he can get Beyonce thighs. All right, thank you, everybody. We'll return with Dion Chang in a moment or two. Isn't he interesting?
Yeah, bro.
Yeah, one of the most interesting people in SA, and he's got lots to tell us about what's going on now, what he predicts will be going on later, and we'll talk a little bit about where he's been and what he's done as well. Plenty of interesting stuff coming your way in the next hour. CliffCentral.com on a Thursday. It's already August the 3rd.
Jeez, I can't believe it's August. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Thanks, Wada. Have a happy day.
This is CliffCentral.com.